Good morning, church. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning. If you're a guest, welcome. If you are a member of this local congregation, know that we have been praying for you guys, and let us know how we can continue to pray for you, okay? Again, life is difficult. You do not need to go through life by yourself. This is why you have the local church. This is why God is giving you the local church, to have people to pray with you, pray for you, to encourage you. So please, be a part of the local church and let us know how we can help you. The title for today's sermon is Knowing God's Voice. Knowing God's Voice. What a very important concept for us to know God's voice today. We live in a world where there is a roar of voices around us, and it's very, very loud. So loud that sometimes it can drown the voice of God in our own lives. We come to God's Word and we find the clamor of the world, the clatter of our thoughts, the confusion of what everyone else is telling us is drowning what God is saying to us. So it is of utmost importance that we know the voice of God. We know the voice of God. Friends, oftentimes I think sometimes what we do is we find ourselves pursuing things that we think that is right? Things that we believe in our own lives because we want it, and we put God's approval or blessings on that, and we say, this is what God is saying. And it could contradict the Word of God. Anything that contradicts the Word of God, I could tell you this right now, it is not God. It is absolutely not God. So it might feel right in your life, but if it contradicts the Word, it's a major problem. And this is a problem that we find that the Israelites were in the time of Samuel. For example, in Judges chapter 21, verse 25, it says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. This is the same problem that we find even in our culture today. Friends, when we say God's voice, primarily we're saying the Bible. God speaks to us primarily through His Word. So if you want to know God's voice, you must know the Bible. You must know truth within the Bible. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, the author of Hebrews says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in the last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed as heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. So yes, God can speak to us in our hearts, and yes, God can speak to us through people, but listen to me very carefully. Whatever we feel in our hearts, whatever someone else is coming to say to us, if it contradicts Scripture, God is not speaking. Do you get this? Primarily, God speaks to us through His Word. And in 1 Samuel chapter 3, we see that Samuel is visited by God. He has this visitation from God altogether. And this visitation is meant to lead Samuel in a place of being a prophet and to lead God's people. Samuel's obedience serves as a great example for us today. As a matter of fact, I want you to observe this with me. In verse 1, we see the great emphasis on the Word of God. And then in verse 21, a great emphasis on the Word of God. So the emphasis here is God speaking. The emphasis here is the Word of God. And how does God speak? Through His Word, right? But see with me very carefully in verse 1. In verse 1, it tells us that the Word of the Lord was rare in those days. And then in verse 21, it tells us that God finally speaks. It's rare in verse 1, but in verse 21, God is speaking so clearly through His servant Samuel. But this morning, I want us to observe two ways that we can know God's voice. Do you want to know God's voice? Two ways that you can know God's voice. What are they? We must we must, notice with me, we must hear God speak through his word. We must hear God speak through his word. We see this in the life of Samuel, verses 1 through 14 and 2. We must speak God's word to others. We must speak God's word to others. There's a connection here, and I want you to see this. We see this in verses 15 through 21. So friends, listen, I need you to really grab hold of your Bibles, grab hold of the Holy Spirit, allow the Spirit of God to speak to your hearts, and please do not be distracted. God wants to speak to you. And you must say to yourself, God, here I am, like Samuel, here I am, speak to me, God, through your word. So let me help you by praying for you before we get started. God, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for a great example, such as 1 Samuel chapter 3. Here is a young man, God, who is hearing your word in a time when the word of God was rare. But God, you chose to speak to and through Samuel. So God, we are asking that you speak to us. Allow us to have the same disposition of Samuel, where our attitude is to listen to you and to obey you and to speak your word, God. And if we do these things, God, we know that you will speak even clearer, even mightier in our lives, God. So God, I pray for our hearts. Teach us what we do not know. Make us what we are not, and give us what we do not have. We ask all of this in Jesus' mighty and precious name. Amen. Amen. So point number one, we must hear God speak through his word. We must hear God speak through his word. To know someone's voice, that person must speak, right? I mean, it's just a natural thing. To know someone's voice, that person must speak and we must listen. But what happens when that person chooses not to speak and we choose not to listen? There is chaos. And this is exactly what we have in the life of the Israelites at this moment. God was speaking constantly to the people, and they chose to neglect God's word. They chose to disobey God's word, and God decided, I will no longer speak. And friends, when that happened, there is spiritual famine in the life of the people. And this is exactly what we find. They have no clue how to serve God because of the fact that they are very disobedient, and God is not speaking. There is a famine, and the famine involves absence of God's word. We too, in our culture, must be very, very careful. We see that the word of God is removed from public forums. Even in churches today, people are no longer wanting to preach the word. It is replaced by comedy skits. It's replaced by pep talks, right? It's replaced by motivational speech rather than the word of God. The word of God is not read. The word of God is not preached. As a matter of fact, the only time in some churches that the word of God is mentioned is only to support an idea of the preacher, his agenda. And friends, we must be careful that we are not like the people of Israel. This spiritual famine is throughout the Bible. For example, in 2 Kings 22, verse 13, which is by far one of my favorite passages of scripture, here is a young boy, Josiah, who is 8 years old. He has been given the kingship, and he is more righteous than grown men. It reminds us of Samuel and the sons of Eli. Sons of Eli were worthless and wicked men. And here is Samuel, a little boy, who is bringing light in this dark world. Josiah is doing the same thing. And when Josiah became king at the age of 8, and later on in his 18th year, they went and they found the book of the law in the temple, and they brought it out. They brought it out from the house of the Lord, and great revival happened in the life of Josiah and the people. Notice very carefully what Josiah mentioned. He says, go, in 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 13, go inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning it. He's asking him to go and inquire, see what the Lord has to say about what? The book, the word of the law. And Josiah, he tells us here as well, how can people find themselves not listening to the word of God? Consistent disobedience will cause us to not hear God. Do you get it? Consistent disobedience will cause us to not hear God. And it will also cause God to not speak. And here specifically, we notice that Josiah is crying out. We also have a great example of this in Nehemiah chapter 8. The people are back in Jerusalem. They're building the wall. And here is Nehemiah and Ezra. And Ezra goes and he finds the book of the law. And he read the book of the law. And great revival happened. We want to see change in our culture. We want to see change in our churches. The word of God must be preached. Do you get this? We don't have to invent new stuff to get as many people in this local congregation. Success in a church is not having a bunch of people and a bunch of programs. Spiritual success is the word of God is preached and the people are living out the word of God. Please don't miss this. In Amos chapter 8, verse 11 through 12, it talks to us about this spiritual famine. And don't miss this. Come in closer. Read this with me. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. And friends, this is exactly what we have in this passage. Friends, we too must be very careful. We too must be very careful, and we must seek God. Friends, don't miss this and come in closer. If you want to hear from God, then you must be intimately acquainted with his word. There are no shortcuts to hearing from God. This is one of my biggest problems. Some of my charismatic friends and brothers and sisters, they want shortcuts. But God, just speak to me. But read your Bible. I don't want to read the Bible. It's too hard. It's too much. There are different cultures. I don't have time. I just want God to tell me what I need to do. But listen, he's given us his word. When Bible scholar says this, and notice very carefully, don't miss this. He says, is the Bible still preached in our church? Let us love to hear the word of God. Let us be urgent to bring others in earshot of it. It is our guaranteed privilege. The voice of the preacher could be silenced. And the truth of God is our only defense against error. This was the problem that we had in the time of Samuel and Eli. The word of the Lord was rare. That's problem. That's famine. Great famine. So how can God be silent when there was a priest like Eli? And the Bible tells us specifically about this priest, Eli. The narrator has already described Eli for us. In chapter 1, we notice when Hannah went up to pray and Eli was there, Eli could not even recognize a spirit-filled person. That here's this woman crying out to the Lord, and Eli's like, are you drunk? Couldn't even recognize a spirit-filled person. In chapter 2, again, we're given this description of Eli with his sons. He waited until he was older to discipline his children. And even in the sacrifice of what they were doing, they were perhaps bringing it to Eli, and he was partaking of that as well. We notice that Eli was not a spiritual man. He was not. But then it changes. So this is later on. Chapter 3, notice with me, is at a different time, perhaps years. In our children's story of Samuel, we always imagine that Samuel is just this little boy, perhaps 4 or 5, when the Lord called him, the Lord visited him and gave him the word, right, in chapter 3. But no, Samuel at this point perhaps was a teenager. How do we know this? In verse 21, it says he was growing. In verse 26, again, it tells us he was growing. So he keeps growing and growing and growing. He's not 4 anymore. Perhaps here he is a teenager. And he is in the temple of the Lord, the house of the Lord. But notice very carefully what happens in the house of the Lord. It tells us about Eli. It tells us specifically where Eli was. And notice in your own Bible, and let's read this together. It says, now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. And at that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. So notice the contrast. First of all, the narrator tells us, here is Eli. Eli is laying in perhaps a chamber next to the temple. In his room, Eli is older. Eli is not able to see clearly, right? He's losing his eyesight. But notice this as well. There is also something spiritual here. It's not just his physical eyesight. It's also spiritual. Eli is not able to see spiritually. He's not. This is an indication from chapter 1 and chapter 2. And here, the narrator wants us to see this as well. But where is Eli? Eli is in the chamber, and where is Samuel? Samuel is laying in the temple next to the Ark of the Covenant. Again, the narrator wants you to see how God is moving from Eli to Samuel, the new priest, the new prophet. That God is showing us here that he will raise Samuel to be his servant. My friends, don't miss this as well. We see in the text how heartbreaking this is. That Eli here continues to display the sense of a lack of spirituality. Eli is laying down, and then we notice that Samuel is also laying next to the Ark of the Covenant, and it talks about the lamp of the Lord had not gone out yet. Again, there is a contrast. Notice this, Eli's eyesight is dim, but the lamp of the Lord is continuing to burn. This is what he wants you to observe here. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. In Exodus chapter 27, God prescribed for his people as to how they ought to keep the lampstand. The lampstand was supposed to be in the holies of holies. And it represented, basically was there to illuminate, to give light to the priests as they walk through the holies of holies and work through the holies of holies, right? In the holies of holies. But it's also there to show that the priest is meant to lead God's people, to illuminate, to share the word of God. Eli is not able to do that, but Samuel will do that. The lamp is not going out, because God has chosen Samuel. God's favor is upon Samuel. God will bring light in darkness. And what great truth that we have here. So here it is that Samuel is laying down, Eli is in his chamber, and the Lord speaks. Don't miss this. The word of the Lord was rare in that time. And the only time that God spoke was to judge the house of Eli twice. In chapter 1, God spoke through another prophet who went to Eli and told Eli that his house will be cut off. And here in chapter 3, again, the Lord spoke. And he speaks to Samuel, and Samuel will also judge Eli. But God speaks, and God calls Samuel. The text tells us as soon as God calls Samuel, he gets up, he walks into Eli's chamber and says, here I am. Eli says, it's not me. He goes back, he lays down. The Lord says, Samuel again, the second time. He gets up, he goes into Eli's chamber. Here I am, he says, it's not me. It happened the third time. And the Bible tells us that Eli perceived that it was the Lord. He perceived that it was the Lord. And then Eli says to Samuel, which is very, very profound. Hey, it is the Lord speaking. The next time God speaks, say to him, here I am, Lord. Your servant is listening. Friends, come in closer. And I don't want you to miss this. Eli knew the right thing to say, but he wasn't willing to do it himself. We might have the right doctrines. We might even tell people how to make it to heaven, and we ourselves are not willing to enter the door that would lead us to heaven. Do you see how detrimental this is? This is heartbreaking. It is heartbreaking that we can tell someone how to get to heaven, but we never enter the door ourselves. It is heartbreaking that he knows how to respond when God speaks, but he never put himself in a position for God to speak to him. And listen, God wanted to speak to Eli as well. But Eli was not hearing. Eli was not listening. Eli was disobedient. And friends, here's a great application for you today. You might have all the right doctrines, and listen to me very carefully. Doctrines are very important. You might have all the right doctrines. You might speak to so many people about those right doctrines. But if you're not willing to live out those doctrines, it means nothing. We are called to abstain from the pitfall that Eli fell in. Knowing how to communicate with God, but choose not to communicate with God. So we must be very careful here. The word of God is spoken now to Eli, or to Samuel, and Samuel goes for the third time, and Eli tells him what to expect and what to do, and the fourth time, according to the text, God speaks again. But this time it's different. The text tells us that God came and he stood next to Eli, or to Samuel. This is a manifestation of God himself. That God appeared to Samuel, and God is standing right next to him, and God calls him, and God says, Samuel, Samuel. Not just one Samuel, but two. In the same way when God called Abraham, 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 Moses, Moses, and God is saying, Samuel, Samuel. And God is making his covenant here with Samuel. And God is calling Samuel to go out and to preach the good news, right? God is calling him to preach the word, to teach the word, friends. I don't want you to miss this, and I want you to get this with very, very carefully. We too must be very careful in this situation where God speaks to Samuel and he listens and he hears. The question is, are you listening to God through his word? How are you reading his word? How is your intake of the Bible? Are you spending time reading it? Or the only time that you listen to the word of God is when it's preached, or when you go to Sunday school, that's the only time you open up the word of God. Friends, be careful. We can have this spiritual famine, even in the sense of us having the Bible in our hands. We can even experience spiritual famine if we don't open the word. Having it in your hands, having it at your homes, having it in your car, doesn't matter if you're not reading it. We must read the word. We must have a healthy diet of the word in our own lives. We must make it a priority. Because if we don't, we will experience this spiritual famine. A great story was told about this man. A Chinese man, Zhou Huyang, he lived in Germany with his wife, Kristen. And while they were there, Zhou was basically a Buddhist. And he was in Germany and he wanted to read read something in his native language, which is Mandarin. And he couldn't find anything. And he asked his wife to find something where he can read in his native language. His wife wasn't a Christian. She wasn't a believer. She was an agnostic. She was a Westerner. And she decided to get him a Bible. And that's the only thing she could find. And reluctantly, she was like, that's the only thing I can find, but I'll just give it to him. Because if I give it to him, he will see it as a good gesture. So she buys it. She gives it to him. He wasn't happy at first, but he started reading because he wanted to read something in his native language. And if you know anything about the Word of God, it is powerful. So he starts reading. He started being convicted by the Word of God. He renounced Buddhism, and he became a Christian. To the shock of his wife, and she was so upset, and there was great conflict between them. And she decided to grab the same Bible to read it just to argue with him. Just to have some arguing points, right? Just to figure out how can I debunk some of his beliefs. So she grabbed the Bible, started reading the Bible, and guess what? She got saved as well. They both got saved, and they were reading scripture together. And later they realized they needed fellowship, so they went to a small church in Germany where they got baptized and started serving the Lord there. True story. This is the power of the Word of God. It can transform your life. And for the Christian, it is food. So here we have it that Samuel is listening to the Word of God. He hears the Word of God. How can you know God's voice? Through the Word of God. God is not speaking to us like he spoke to Samuel. You are not going to see a physical manifestation of God where God's going to tell you, this is what you need to do. It's given to us. Here it is. Here it is. This is God's Word. So we digest the Word of God. We read the Word of God and we find ourselves led by God. But friends, not only must we hear the Word of God as Samuel heard the Word of God, but we must speak God's Word to others. It makes sense for the first one. To know God's voice, I must hear God's voice. I must hear His Word, right? What do you mean to know God's voice? I must speak His Word. How does that make sense? It makes a lot of sense with Christianity. God has designed Christianity in such a way that as we hear from God and we start speaking about God, we grow in great intimacy with God. That's the beauty of Christianity. It is not meant for us to receive and put it on a shelf and just benefit ourselves. No, the more we give it out to others, the more that we find great joy in Christ. The more we share the Word of God, the greater our intimacy is with God. And here specifically, we notice that with Samuel. That God tells Samuel what he must do. And what Samuel is called to do here is very difficult. He's supposed to go to his mentor and tell his mentor that God is going to cut off his house. Doesn't that sound very similar sometimes with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is not just love, friends. Listen. The greatest aspect of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is, yes, God loves you, but God died on the cross for your sins, and therefore, repent. And if you don't repent, the wrath of God is upon you. That's the gospel in its entirety. If we leave out the wrath of God, the penalty of sin, we are not sharing the gospel. All we are doing is sharing something good for someone to make themselves feel good about themselves, right? But the gospel is sharing that Jesus died on the cross. Jesus wants a relationship with you. The wrath of God is upon you. Flee from that and turn to God. And we notice here early in the morning, because this is when the lamp goes out. It's in dawn. It's when they actually enter into the house of the Lord and they change it and they relight it, whatever. And here specifically, it's early in the morning, according to what the text tells us. And then Eli is still sleeping. And then the Lord says to Samuel to go and speak to Eli and tell Eli exactly what I will do to him. Friends, I want you to observe two key points to Samuel's message here, to God's message here. First, notice very carefully. Notice, the first is that God judges sin with the severity it deserves. I know that perhaps you're thinking those churches that don't talk about sin and don't talk about judgment and the wrath of God and justice is where I need to be because I need positive thinking in my life. But the greatest thing you can receive is the truth from the Word of God. I don't want anyone to lie to me and I don't want you to be deceived. And listen, when we share the glorious gospel, yes, we must share the wrath of God as well. There are Christians today who are saying, I will not talk to my children about sin. All I want them to know is how much God loves them. And when I share that and they come to know God, that's all I will do. There are people today who are saying, I don't want to talk to my neighbors about sin. I don't want them to know that Jesus died for their sin and they must repent and turn away from their sins. No, I just want them to know that God loves them. But we are not sharing the gospel if we do that. The greatest thing about God is that we see here that he judges sin to the severity that it deserves. And when we share that, we see the grace of God as well, that we turn to the grace of God. Second, the Lord states that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice of offering forever. What is the Lord saying here? We see this in verse 14, right? This is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit as well. These are the sons of Eli who chose to go against God's atoning work. These are the sons of Eli who chose to ignore the power of grace altogether. And God says no forgiveness will be given to them. It's not because they were looking for it in the first place. It's because they hate the things of God. They hate the work of God. God says no atoning grace, atoning work will be given to them. But God has ordained for the cleansing of sin. These men were spitting on it. And in the New Testament, we find the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. How do you know if you have blasphemed the Holy Spirit? How do you know that? I can promise you one thing. If you believe that you are blaspheming the Holy Spirit, you will not be even worried about it. You won't even be worried about it. So people who blaspheme the Holy Spirit do not care about the things of God. They do not care about the work of Christ. And here we find the sons of Eli doing exactly the same thing to the work of God for salvation. Friends, notice with me very carefully. Gordon Kitty, this is what he writes. The gospel message is essentially a very hard message, both to preach and to hear, because it calls to sinners to confess their helplessness, to save themselves and turn in repentance and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation through his substitutionary atonement for sin. This is a gospel that we must share. And like Samuel, we are called to share hard things to people. But notice very carefully when Samuel shared with Eli what happened. He shared with Eli, and according to the text, it mentioned that Eli said to Samuel, "Do not withhold anything from me, or the Lord will curse you. So share with me what the Lord has said." And he shared every word that the Lord mentioned. And Eli's response is this: "Let the Lord do what he must. It is the Lord." Friends, I need you to observe with me very carefully here of a great truth that we find in the Old Testament and as well as the New Testament. And that is to share the glorious truth of our Lord Jesus Christ, the entirety of it. To call people to repent and to trust in the finishing work of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not your job to save anyone, but it's your job to speak the word of God, the truth of the word. And guess what? You will be judged if you chose not to speak the word. So as Christians, we're called to speak the word, exactly what we find in the life of Samuel. He spoke the word of God. Now coming closer, and don't miss this. I love this. throughout history, God has been doing this through his word. Throughout history, God has used his word mightily. For example, we notice in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 26, it says that the word, God spoke the world into being just through his word. Just through his word. God created the world just through his word. God called Abraham and Moses and Samuel into service through his word. Peter mentions here to us, or mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Don't miss this. He says, have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. This is the power of the word of God. David rejoiced concerning the word of God. And this is what he mentioned in Psalm 19. The word of God is perfect, reviving the soul, sure, making wise the simple, right, rejoicing the heart, pure, enlightening the eyes, and true and righteous all together. This is the power of the word of God, friends. You have it. Use it. Meditate upon it. Allow it to stimulate your life. And John Wesley, this is what he did. He cried out. Please remember the words of John Wesley, the old Methodist preacher. This is what he says. Oh, give me that book. What book? The Bible. At any price, give me the book of God. Are you saying the same? Listen, if you struggle with reading the word, we have accountability groups here where we meet up, we talk about the word, we read the word together. We have groups where we kind of walk through the Bible, the whole Bible in 1 year, where you have accountability groups, right? And you also have groups where they walk through just books of the Bible, just one particular book where you can meet up with them. If you're busy, we can also do that via text message. Whatever it takes for you to be in the word, we want to help you be in the word of God. So how do you know God's voice? One, by hearing God speak through his word. And two, by speaking God's word to others. We see it in the life of Samuel. Join me as we pray together. Father, I thank you. Thank you for young Samuel, a teenager who was in love with you. And I pray for our teenagers in this church as well. There is a great example for them here to follow, that God, you can use them mightily as well. Please remove them from this spiritual stagnant life that some of them are in, God, and call them. Call them. They're no longer little kids. They're able to think. They're able to make decisions. They're able to follow you, God, and hear your word. So, God, save our teenagers in this local congregation, God. Pull them away from the world, God. Allow them to be dedicated to you, O Lord. So let Samuel be a great example for them, but not just them, but for us. Those of us who have families, those of us who are busy in this world, fathers and mothers, grandparents, God, we pray that we will not neglect your word, O Lord. That we will hear from God through his word, and that we will speak God's word. Our determined purpose is to know you and make you known. So, Lord, be with us in your mighty and precious name. Amen.